Welcome to the Salem Alliance Church Podcast. To learn more about Salem Alliance, including life groups, gathering times, and other resources, visit us online at salemalliance.org. Today's talk is given by Ashley Dalen.
Good morning, Salem Alliance Church. Good morning, live stream. Good to be here with you all this morning. My name's Ash Dalen. I am the pastor of Neighborhood Ministries here. And I have a question for you. How many people in this room love playing games? Let me see a raise of hands. Oh, a lot. We should have a game night. I really enjoy playing games, whether it's card games, board games, party games, any other genre of games. I love playing games. But one of my favorite types of games are cooperative games. I love games where we're all working on the same team towards the same mission. A couple years ago, I was playing a cooperative game with some friends, and they all knew the game, and so they brought me up to speed on how to play, and they handed me my character card. Now, oftentimes in cooperative games, you have a character card. You bring something to the team. And so I looked at my character card, looked at my role, looked at my abilities that I bring to the team, and I noticed that my card said one of my abilities was to summon 20 crows like the bird. And I went, okay, that seems unique, but super cool. I'm really glad I'm playing this game. And so we get into the game, and all game, I'm waiting for my moment to summon my crows. And the moment comes. My team is in distress. It is my turn. And I look at the table, and I say, I would like to use my ability at this point, and I would like to summon my 20 crows. And the table looks at me, and they're like silent. And so I double down. Like, I would like to use my ability, and I would like to summon my 20 crows. And finally, someone says, can you do that? And I said, yeah, look at my card right here. He starts reading through my card, and he starts laughing, and he goes, no, you have 20 arrows, not 20 crows. In my defense, the A and the R had gotten a little smudged. Knowing what's on your character card makes all the difference when it comes to knowing how to participate in the mission. Today we are wrapping up our Reach series, All of Jesus for All the World Takes All of Us. And we are closing out this series with the last piece of the statement, it takes all of us. And one of the things I want to do as we were worshiping, I just felt like the Lord said, pause and pray for the student ministries and the children's team, because they're about to do they do one big Reach event, and it's about to go off in the youth center. And so I just want to pause in this room and lift our voices up to pray for that room a couple blocks away, where students are going to hear about the opportunity to get invited on this mission. So if you just close your eyes with me, Lord, we in this room lift up every single student who's going to walk into that youth center today. We lift up the students going to C1 and C2 and Omni today who are going to hear about this mission of All of Jesus for All the World Takes All of Us. And Spirit, I just ask that you would move mightily in our kids' lives, in our students' lives. Would they hear about this mission? Would they hear about the gifts and abilities you've given them? And would they lean in? Would they be a part of this mission? Would they join us? Would you bless Brian and Tanya and Anya and the crew who is preaching over there today? Would you bless them? Would you move through them? And would our students fall even deeper in love with you and the mission you invite us to today? In Jesus' name, amen. I'm excited to dig into this theme of All of Jesus for All the World Takes All of Us by looking at the scriptures and then sharing with you multiple examples of character cards of people in our community who are doing this. So let's dig in. The idea for today is this. The mission is cooperative by design, and your card matters. All of Jesus for all the world takes all of us. Today I want to look at Paul's counsel to the church in Corinth, a community marked by incredible ethnic and socioeconomic diversity, and a community rich with a wide variety of gifts. And the survey we took at the beginning of the month showed that we, Salem Alliance, are also a church that is highly diverse. And so Paul is reminding them then, and he's reminding us today, how to engage missionally as a very diverse body. So if you would grab your Bibles I'm not going to put the scriptures on the screen today because we are going to be bebopping all throughout this chapter. So if you would grab a Bible, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you didn't bring a Bible, feel free to use what I'm using, which is the Pew Bible. It's page 956. So feel free to turn there. While you're turning, the church in Corinth is asking questions about spiritual gifts. And Rob talked a few weeks ago specifically about the questions they were asking about prophecy. And he has an amazing message that he preached on that. I think it was the first weekend of 2026. So if you missed that message, please go back and listen. It was incredible. But we're still on this topic. Paul's still addressing to the church of Corinth this idea of spiritual gifts and answering these questions. So we're going to jump in to this part of the letter, 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to start in verse 4. Here we go. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Then we're going to hit verses 8 through 10, and this is where Paul is going to list some spiritual gifts. It's not a comprehensive list. It's probably a list of gifts that the church in Corinth was arguing about or was causing division. We're going to jump over that, and we're going to go to verse 11. It says, "It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gifts each person should have." All right, we're gonna pause there. In this section, Paul makes it clear that one of the defining features on our character card as followers of Jesus is a spiritual gift that is freely given from the Holy Spirit. These gifts aren't earned, they aren't unlocked, they aren't achieved, they are simply received. The Spirit decides what gifts each of us is given. We don't get to look at the list and go, that one seems questionable. No, that one's a maybe. That one, totally comfortable with, Lord, give me that one. You know, we don't get to pick and choose. He decides. And these gifts aren't given to turn us inward for spiritual navel gazing, but for building up the church as we move together outward, cooperatively on mission. But what does someone leaning into their spiritual gifts on their character card look like? Well, it looks like Dean. You will find Dean on at the corner of a busy intersection wearing an orange and yellow vest, holding a big flag that says school in all uppercase letters. Dean is a crossing guard at one of our public middle schools. Now, being a crossing guard is not a very popular job. The hours are awkward. You're in the elements that are unpredictable. And overall, it's a job that's just pretty overlooked. But what Dean saw in this position was an opportunity to use his spiritual gifts of mercy and service. And so every day when Dean goes to work, he doesn't just stop traffic and make sure that kids get safely across the street. No, he gets to know the kids' names as they're walking by. He notices who's looking discouraged or anxious, and he gives an encouraging word. He waves at the bus drivers. He waves at the parents. And Dean's consistency has earned him trust, and that trust has opened doors. And one day, as Dean is standing on his corner with his flag, a student is coming by and kind of keeps lingering with him. And so Dean gets in conversation with him and is recognizing the student is just burdened, and he's like, "What's going on, dude?" And the student's like, "My friend has been sharing some like self-harm stuff, and I'm scared for my friend." And so Dean just cares for that student who's sharing, and then he goes into the school and he lets the administrative staff know so that they can care for this student. And this student who was struggling got the help and care that he needed. A student was protected and cared for, not because of a church program, but because a crossing guard named Dean goes to work with his character card in hand, knowing his spiritual gifts and leaning into them. The mission is cooperative by design, and your card matters. All of Jesus for all the world takes all of us. Let's jump back into 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to pick it up in verse 12. It says, "The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. All right, let's pause there. Paul is now launching into this metaphor of the church being a body, that no matter how many parts there are or that we can name, right, like head, shoulders, knees, and toes, kidneys, intestines, you know, like keep going. We could name a lot. All of those parts are a part of one body. They're connected to one body. He then mentions the diverse backgrounds present in this church, diverse ethnically and religiously by mentioning Jews and Gentiles, diverse socially and economically by mentioning slave and free. And yet Paul declares that yes, these diverse aspects are true about each of us, and yet the truest thing about us is that we are one in Christ Jesus, unified and gifted through the same Holy Spirit. However, Paul is not dismissing the diversity and individual stories represented here. Paul himself took advantage of his story, appealing to his Roman citizenship when he was on trial. He used his Jewish heritage to give him access to certain contexts. Our story, our experience, and our context is crucial and plays a vital role in shaping how we see the world, the passions we have, and the people with whom we can uniquely relate to. Our character card must contain our story, and it must contain the skills and abilities that we have gathered throughout our story. Some of those abilities are innate, maybe the ability to be bilingual because you grew up in a bilingual household and so you speak multiple languages. And some of our skills and abilities are learned. We went to school for them, or we've just experienced or practiced being a carpenter, being a lawyer, being a teacher, being a parent, being a caregiver, things that you've learned. All of these skills and abilities are assets that enable us to gain access to groups of people others wouldn't have natural access to. Recently, I got to sit down with a woman in our church named May, and May told me this story that fit just perfectly with what we're talking about. When May was in fifth grade, her appendix burst, and she had complication after complication after complication, and so she ended up staying in a hospital for an extended period of time. And what happened while she was living in this hospital was that the hospital became a really familiar place. She realized that hospitals aren't scary. And she would, when she finally got to a point where she could walk, she'd walk down the hall and she'd sit and she would just watch the staff work. And she'd watch them answering phone calls and answering questions and helping people who came in the door. And she just felt so at home there. Fast forward years later, she gets married, she has kids, she works as a medical technician for a season, and fast all the way forward until she's 71. And she's on a retreat, and she starts talking to another Salem Alliance Church member who she knows volunteers at Salem Hospital. And she says, "Tell me what that's like. Tell me all about it." And he begins telling her, and he says, "Why don't you just come check it out with me?" And so, not letting fear get in the way, not letting the what-ifs get in the way, she just said, "Yeah, okay." And so May went with him, and that started something in May. For the next 9 years, up until now, she's currently doing this, May every single week goes to Salem Hospital, working with the chaplains there, and going room from room and visiting patients. She brings the peace and the presence and power of Christ into each room. She said she loves just listening to people's stories and then asking if she can pray for them and praying back what she hears and what the Spirit gives her. She has so many incredible stories of just seeing people go from agitated and angry and frustrated to just at peace as she gets to pray with them in that space. One of the stories that she told me was one day she was pushing a cart of Bibles across the campus, and this gentleman behind her said, "Ma'am, ma'am, ma'am." And she looked behind her, and this young man said, "Do you hand out Bibles?" And she's like, "Yeah, yeah, I hand out Bibles." And he said, "Could I get one for my mom?" My mom is on the cancer floor. The one thing she wanted for Christmas was a Bible, and we weren't able to get her one. Could you give her a Bible? She's like, absolutely. So she finishes what she's doing. She grabs a Bible. She finds out what room she's in. And she goes to visit this young man's mom. And she goes into the room and she hands the woman a Bible. And the woman grabs the Bible and says, "This is all I wanted. I don't know what the future holds, but I just want to read God's word." And May got to pray with her, and the son came back in the room and saw that she had come and given her a Bible, and he looked at his mom and said, "Mom, I think that was from God." And May gave him a Bible, and he goes, "If my mom's not able to read it, I'll read it to her." May is quick to say that she is simply a vessel. But God uses vessels shaped over time. He uses our whole story. 9 years into hospital ministry, she told me, "I now know that God puts us in places long before we understand why." And so May keeps walking the hospital halls, character card in hand, using her story, using her skills and abilities as she listens, prays, and cares right where God prepared her all those years ago as a little girl. The mission is cooperative by design, and your card matters. All of Jesus for all the world takes all of us. Now let's jump back in our scripture here, and let's jump in at verse 14. And Paul is going to name the very real human challenge that comes with being a community with a wide variety of diverse gifts. So here we go. Verse 14. It says, "Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, 'I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand,' that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, 'I am not a part of the body because I am not an eye,' would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? And if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' The head can't say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary." Let's pause there. Paul is using this metaphor to point out that all the parts of the body are equal and valuable, whether you're the eye, the nose, the hand on the outside of the body, easily visible, or whether you're the stomach, the lungs, the heart on the inside, not easily viewable, but vital and crucial to the success of the body. The comparison game, though, is alive in Corinth, and it's alive today. And I think it's so important to address because I think it's one of the reasons that we are tempted to put down our card and walk away from the mission. Paul points out two key temptations with comparison. In verses 14 through 17, Paul says that comparison can lead to self-dismissal. "I don't look like them. I don't serve like them. I don't sound like them. I'm not wired the way they are wired. Therefore, I'm out." In verses 18 through 22, we see comparison leading to others' dismissal. This idea that you don't have my gifts or the gifts I value, therefore you aren't needed. Eugene Peterson says, "It's like the head telling the foot, 'You're fired and your job has been phased out,'" which is ridiculous. Like, how's the head gonna get anywhere without the foot? This form of comparison can creep in, and we have to be careful of where we may have subconsciously ranked different gifts, ranked different backgrounds, and said, "Oh, those are the ones that God uses, and these really aren't the ones where God moves." Let me shoot straight with you. Comparison is sneaky, and I have caught that there's a phrase I say often when I encounter somebody who has gifts and skills different than me that I admire, and I mean it in an encouraging way, but the root of it is actually comparison. Maybe some of you will relate to this. Here's the phrase I say: "So-and-so, I couldn't do what you do. I couldn't do what you do. Now, the heart behind that is, I'm so impressed by the skills and abilities you have. I am in awe of the way you do that. It's meant as encouragement. But when I say to somebody, I couldn't do what you do, what it really does is it pushes us apart. It says, you're over there and I'm over here. And it doesn't propel us together on mission. And so as I've caught this in myself and been ruminating on what's a better way to say that, Lord, to encourage the diversity that I see in others, this is what the Lord has given me. So you can steal it if you ever say these phrases. He's given me this: I couldn't do what you do, and I'm so grateful we get to do this together. I couldn't do what you do, and I'm so grateful we do this together. It acknowledges the diversity, it celebrates what we each bring, but it keeps us side by side on mission. Here we get to acknowledge the differences. Now, when I was a high school pastor for 10 years, so that's hence my prayer earlier. I'm very passionate about our youth still. And so I got to do that for 10 years, and I would always pay attention to the middle school leaders, right? Because they would often follow their kids 6th, 7th, 8th, and I wanted to poach them for high school. Like, if they looked solid, I'm like, I want them to come serve with me. And there was this lady who was very small, quiet, but she was relationally dynamic. And I wanted her in my ministry. So when I saw her girls were eighth graders, I came up to her and I was like, hey, what are the odds that you're gonna come up and like serve with me in high school ministry? I would love to serve with you. And I could tell she loved her girls and she wanted to move up, but I could also tell there was this hesitation in her. And so finally I just like went to the point. I'm like, what is stopping you from being a high school leader? And she just shot straight back. She goes, here's the deal. I don't look like you or sound like you. And I honestly don't look and sound like most of your high school leaders. And so she said, I just don't know if high school ministry would be a good fit for me. And I looked at her and I was like, that is why we need you. Guess what? I have loud, big personality, can manage hundreds of high schoolers. That's on my card. I've got it covered. I don't have what you have. I need what you bring. Please come join me. If we're gonna have a flourishing ministry, Lord knows we don't need too many of me's. And she came and she ministered with me for 4 years, and I loved serving alongside her. When girls would come into the youth center, they would see me, and I've come to realize that my personality terrifies some people. And so they'd see me and like put their heads down and rush past me, like, I hope she doesn't like yell anything. And they'd go straight to this leader. And she always had this gaggle of girls around her who just felt seen and known and loved. And I was just always so grateful that we got to serve together. When we second guess ourselves, picking up a pencil to self-edit what God has put on our card, we slow the mission down. And I'm not saying that you're doing something bad when you got that doubt, but I'm just saying we don't need you to self-edit. We need you to bring what God has put on your card. We need you. Do not give in to that comparison and temptation. The mission is cooperative by design, and your card matters. Do not self-edit. All of Jesus for all the world takes all of us. Now, the reality is we all have limitations, and we get to be honest about that. One of the things I love about cooperative games and character cards is that they usually have a weakness or a limitation. And isn't that just so real life? And we all have different seasons. Sometimes we hit seasons of long-term limitations, and sometimes we just have seasonal limitations. I would imagine that 3 kids under 3 would bring some limitations. I would imagine that caring for an elderly parent brings some limitations. I would imagine that when we're caring for sick family members, that's a limitation. Or when we ourselves are struggling physically, emotionally, or mentally, that comes with some limitations. Feel free to fill in the blank for you, but we all have limitations. None of us are superhuman or immune to the ebb and flow of life. But I want to reread what verse 22 says. It says, in fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. Please don't toss in your cards when limitations hit. Let God reshape and invite you to something even in those seasons of limitations. My mom's name is Linda, and if Linda, if her on her character card under limitations, you would see this, autoimmune disease, chronic fatigue. For the last 30 years, my mom has spent more time in bed or on the couch than out and about. And my mom has amazing spiritual gifts that she would love to use, volunteering at a food pantry or doing other opportunities, but that's just not in the cards for her. And so she has every excuse, honestly, to toss in her card and be like, I don't have anything to contribute to this mission. I'm just slowing everyone down. Go on without me. But my mom hasn't done that. She's leaned in. She's listened to the Lord. And the Lord has shown her that my mom has something really unique. My mom has the unique gift of time. And so as my mom's laying in bed in the morning or in the middle of the day or in the evening, my mom prays. She prays for the people in her life. She prays for her church. She prays for this church. She intercedes and lifts up, and God hears her cries, and God moves. When I get to stand up here and be a visible part of the body using gifts, I stand in cooperation with my mom, who's invisible. You will never see her, but I stand here on the wings of her prayers, of her covering, of her encouragement. She is praying for you right now that you would receive the words of God and that you would experience life transformation. We are on mission together. Don't throw in the card when limitations hit. Verse 26 and 27 says this, if one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Whatever limitations you face, keep your card in hand. Lean in and let us come alongside you. We do this together to stand in the gap where each other feels weak. Paul will go on to say in the next chapter that plowing through this mission for the sake of the mission is not how we're invited to do it. He says we're invited to do this mission the Jesus way. And the Jesus way is this. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3, he says this, if I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. In verse 7, he says, love never gives up. We move forward together, showing love to each other, supporting each other in this family, but we move in love towards our city. When we partner together, we give our neighbors and our city and the world a better picture of who God is. This is how we take all of Jesus to all the world and see a city at peace with God. So my invite this morning is this, lean in. Lean in. When you walk out these back doors, you are going to see these orange cards, these orange blank character cards. And my challenge to you is this, grab one and fill it out. And if you are like, I have no clue what I'm bringing, like that's over, I don't know my gifts, I don't know my spiritual gifts, I don't know my story, I don't know if I'm bringing 20 crows or 20 arrows, you know? I want to invite you to take advantage of our gifts, passion, and story assessment. If you go to our website, salemalliance.org, or scan this QR code, it'll take you to our assessment. Let that be a tool to help you start this conversation. Go to your life group and discern together, like, I think I have this spiritual gift, but do you see that in me? And discern together as community. And once you've filled out your card, I want to encourage you to fold it. It's nice and stiff. Fold it, put it in your back pocket, and carry it around with you for a week. And every time you feel that awkward cardboard card in your pocket, I want it to be a reminder that wherever you go, you are bringing your card. You are bringing the things that God has uniquely wired you to bring to the places and the spaces that you go. That our city and our neighbors, they need you. They need what you have on your card. And I'd also just lastly encourage you to step out and use/grow your gifts. Our gifts are developed as we use them. And this mission is part of our discipleship journey. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 8, knowledge makes us feel important, but it is love that strengthens the church. Let us not be a church who knows a lot about ourselves, but holds it tight. Let us be a church who knows a lot about ourselves and in love brings ourselves fully to the places and spaces that God has called us. Ask God to show you where he's leading you in this season. The mission is cooperative by design, and your card matters. All of Jesus for all the world takes all of us. I'm going to close this in prayer. Lord, I thank you that you don't hand out used cards to us. That every card that you've written on our hearts, the spiritual gifts, the story, the abilities, that it's a mint special edition card, Lord, that you created us in our mother's womb with a mission and plan for how we play a crucial part in this body, the church, and on mission together. And so, Lord, would you open our eyes to show us where you're calling us in this season, where you're at work and where we don't have to bring you, but you're already moving and we just get to join you in what you're doing, Lord. Thank you for including us. Thank you for making us unique. May we celebrate that and each other. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Salem Alliance podcast. We hope you have been challenged and inspired. Salem Alliance is a community of believers located in downtown Salem, Oregon, and we are passionate about our city being a city at peace with God. To experience other messages and discover more about who we are, please visit salemalliance.org or download the Salem Alliance app. And again, thanks for listening.